Let us pray. Father, thank you for your living word. Thank you that as we are washed with it, sprinkled with it, as we ingest it, that we are awakened from the deadness of our sin and the darkness of our days. May these words of our mouths and meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love how symbols begin to take on a life and meaning of their own. And hopefully we can get one up here on the screen. What do you think when you see that symbol? What? Okay, not the brand. What's the slogan? Just do it. I hear the psalmist saying that to his soul here. Just do it. Praise the Lord. Hey, so do you talk to yourself? The psalmist does. The psalmist talks to himself not infrequently. I don't think it's a bad thing. Depending on the translation that you read, it's bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I love it. Some of the translations break it out a little bit more. Affectionately and gratefully praise God, O my soul. Sometimes it's good for me to remind myself that when I praise him, I need to do it affectionately as my Abba, my dear Father, and to do it gratefully. He is my provider. And the word there, the word barak literally means to declare blessed. God's blessed already. He is altogether good and lovely. But it needs to be echoed throughout his creation. It must be echoed throughout his creation. Why bless the Lord, O my soul? Number one, because he is holy. He is ineffable, wonderful, lovely, the name above all names. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. We praise him first and declare him blessed because of who he is. But he doesn't keep it all to himself. As you scroll through the rest of the psalm, we also praise him because of all the benefits, the bennies. It's good stuff for us. It's forgiveness. It's healing, all kinds of healing, redemption, love, mercy, renewal, and not just spiritual renewal. There's implied in there sometimes we get a renewal even of physical strength, emotional strength. The renewal of the youth. We get justice. Not the justice we deserve, but the justice that glorifies him. Redemption, pardon in Christ. We get self-disclosure. He makes himself available to us. He unmasks himself. He reveals himself freely to us. That's another benefit. We get mercy when we don't get what we do deserve, and we get plenteous grace when we do get what we don't deserve. In Dr. Whipfleet's book, I love the fact that he said to thoughtfully engage the Psalms, we need theological poise, pastoral perception, and artistic imagination. Theological poise, pastoral perception, and artistic imagination. Let's make that part of our prayer this week, that the Lord will awaken in us and distill in us and ferment in us theological poise, pastoral perception, and artistic imagination as we engage these psalms, these mornings together, and then as we go back to our worshiping communities and try to share what we're learning with them. Ambrose spoke of the psalms as the noise of good cheer, the echo of gladness. I would say that this room this morning has been filled with the noise of good cheer and the echo of gladness, just reverberating right out of Psalm 103. Ancient future worship, we've said, is not just declarative, but it's also dialogical. We find in the Psalms all kinds of dialogue, even between you and your own soul. I'm very fond of, some of you have heard me talk before, you know I love first sentences of things, the way things begin. I love first sentences. There are many books I fall in love with on the first sentence, and I love the first sentence of Dr. Whipfleet's book, Learning to Talk is one of life's greatest miracles. Learning to talk is one of life's greatest miracles. My little two-year-old grandson, Houston Ford, quite the little man. He loves to sit at the table before a meal when we all hold hands and we ask the Lord, invite the Lord's presence, give thanks for what he's given. And when the prayer is done, he reaches out again and says, hands, hands. He wants to hold hands longer. And then once we're holding hands, he says, pray. It's okay, Houston, you can pray. And so he wants to pray longer. He doesn't want to just give thanks for the food. He's learning those words, hands, pray. And he's learning that dialogue with God. The Psalms can form the appropriate speech in our words, in our speaking habits, our speaking patterns. As we pray the Psalms, sing the Psalms, chant the Psalms, internalize the Psalms, and they can also reawaken in us the way a little one is born to listen. The way Houston is already listening and learning, hands, pray. Let's let the Psalms reshape our speech and reawaken listening in us. Could we have the image for one more second? Does that image ever make you feel any guilt? I'm not a terribly disciplined guy when it comes to physical workout. I mean, I can tell myself just do it, and I still might not. There's a lot of guilt there, but you know what? Let's kill that image. That image is trumped by this image. Just do it is trumped by it is finished, it is done. And if you find yourself lapsing, not spending the time before the Lord and his word and prayer that you want to, that you intended to, don't bear the guilt. Give that back to him. He's happy to take it. He can take our sorrows. He knows what to do with them. Just buries them where they can never be found again, and just get swept up into that relationship that Jesus has with the Father. That communion is going on all the time, and he just invites us into it to share it with him in the communion of his Holy Spirit.